At one point in the Vietnam conflict, which America was told was all about defeating the North Vietnamese communists, it became clear the U.S. would eventually leave and the country would be run by the hated communist government in Hanoi.
The North Vietnamese army entered Saigon just as they planned on May Day.
And that is exactly what happened in 1975.
This is a historic moment, the arrival of the North Vietnamese regular army in Saigon, right in the middle of Saigon, just after 12 o'clock, just after noon.
Nobody believes events in Afghanistan will unfold like Vietnam 1975, but after being told for more than a decade that the Taliban must be defeated and that the U.S. mission in Afghanistan is to deny the country to the Taliban and anti-Western insurgencies like Al-Qaeda, after the United States leaves Afghanistan in 2014, the Taliban is certainly on the short list of who or what will eventually govern that country. What would a Taliban government or even a political partnership look like? Will they answer this plea from the current Afghan president, Hamid Karzai?
My message to the Taliban is, my countrymen, my brothers, stop killing your own people.
Or will the future of Afghanistan under the Taliban sound more like this? The chilling sound there of men cheering after an Afghan woman is executed for adultery by the Taliban. The disturbing video has been widely shared on the internet. Is this the symbol of what Taliban rule would be like? Or is it the carnage from the latest attack this week by Pakistani Taliban gunmen who attacked a security compound in eastern Pakistan? Michael Semple may have gotten some insight into this question. Semple is a research fellow at the Carr Center for Human Rights Policy at the Harvard Kennedy School, leading authority on the Taliban and reconciliation efforts in Afghanistan. He conducted an extensive interview with a top Taliban commander about the future of the country. That interview appears in full length in the July 12th edition of the British political magazine New Statesman. Michael Semple, welcome to the program.
Hello.
I want to stipulate right up front, you did not do this interview with the idea of asking this Taliban commander specifically about adultery videos and the kinds of things that I cited. But generally speaking, what can we learn about the political mission of the Taliban from this interview that you've conducted?
I think that we learned from it that there is a fascinating political process going on inside the Taliban movement. And the outcome of the Taliban's internal politics will help shape the future direction of Afghanistan, will shape it into either going in the direction of a civil war after NATO troops die down, leave the country, or some kind of settlement amongst Afghans which might lead to a more stable country.
Does the Taliban want to share power, or does it only have its own a particular vision of how people in Afghanistan should live under Taliban rule?
The political debate going on inside the Taliban movement really revolves around that. There are hardliners who believe that perhaps a monopoly on power is attainable. Basically, they believe that they might be able to take over again, put in place another Taliban government. There are also people inside the movement, senior people, I call them the pragmatists, who believe that they do not have a chance of grabbing Kabul. They do not have a chance of achieving a monopoly of power. And the consequence of going for the unattainable would be that they would precipitate another round of civil war. So really, who wins out in that argument inside the Taliban is critical.
What do you think the future would be? Does the credibility of the Taliban come from being more radical, from projecting more of a relationship with Al-Qaeda, from being more like the old Taliban? Is that where their greatest impact lies? Or do they see a future like Fatah in the PLO, where the original radicals became a much more conservative, kind of mainstream centrist government that eventually made a deal with Israel?
Is a pragmatic bloc at the top of the Taliban movement, in the leadership echelons, that believe they do not have the strength to take over the whole of Afghanistan again, who believe that it would be a mistake for them to repeat the past in terms of sustaining and developing their relationship with Al-Qaeda, and therefore who see the necessity to make an accommodation with other Afghan political forces and also to reach some kind of understanding with the United States and the international community. That exists inside the leadership of the Taliban movement, but they certainly do not call all the shots. There is a very aggressive base, some people who are committed to maintaining the struggle, the jihad at all costs, and are quite happy to maintain their relations with international jihadi elements. And some people in the leadership also believe in going for that. So this is why it is so important what happens to the internal debate in the Taliban.
Would you say this adultery video that's gotten so much visibility because of the internet is something that assists the jihadists within the Taliban, or does the entire Taliban movement wish it had never gotten out there at all?
Well, yeah, obviously, the kind of violence that we've seen in this video, of course, is distressing for anybody who's concerned either about this, the rights of civilians, women and men. But these episodes are open to manipulation from both sets of hardliners. Certainly, there are some inside the Taliban movement who are frightened of a political process. They're frightened of accommodation with other Afghans and who are only too happy to play out this kind of incident to spoil a peace process. But also on the other side, I mean, there are some people in the Afghan government who would perhaps like to do the same thing. Although, of course, it's official policy of the Afghan government to pursue reconciliation, they have some of their own people who are not on board with that strategy. So hardliners on both sides can feed off each other. And when you talk to, funny enough, both some members of civil society in Kabul and also to the more sort of, say, the more pro-peace Taliban, they say, first of all, the responsibility lies with the Afghan government responsible for that area. After all, supposedly they're supposed to be imposing the rule of law, and it's on their watch that this dreadful incident happened. So before we blame everything on the Taliban, we should also ask, where was the Afghan government there?
Talking with Michael Semple, research fellow at the Carr Center for Human Rights Policy at the Harvard Kennedy School. He's just conducted an interview with a senior Taliban commander that appears full length in the July 12th edition of the British political magazine New Statesman. Before we go, two questions. Is there in any sense a pan-Asian aspiration in the Taliban in Afghanistan that would unite a Pakistani Taliban and create a kind of pan-Asian movement that the Taliban would be at the head of? And secondly, you know, when the U.S. withdraws, it seems to me the Taliban wants Karzai out, period, the end. There's no role for Karzai and the Taliban together. What do you think?
Firstly, on the issue of how broad are the aspirations of the Afghan Taliban, I've followed this issue for many years now, and I believe that the original leadership of the Afghan Taliban is primarily focused on what they can achieve inside Afghanistan. They do not have aspirations beyond that. They've made that clear many times. In the old leftist terms, they're the Stalinists pursuing socialism inside one country. They are the Islamists pursuing a fairly conservative vision of Islam inside one country, Afghanistan. However, many other militant groups try to piggyback on the back of that. So some of the militants inside Pakistan, they try to latch on to the cause of the Afghan Taliban and use that as an excuse for what they do inside Pakistan or beyond Pakistan's borders. So the Taliban themselves are not sort of pursuing this pan-Asian vision, but they do provide opportunities for other people to do so. You asked about the attitude to President Karzai. Clearly, the public position that the Taliban have taken is of course they're resisting the idea of dealing with the Afghan government. I believe that all bets are off if it does go to a political process amongst Afghans. Then over time, the Taliban are going to have to work out which are the political forces inside Afghanistan. And probably when they come to do that practically, they're going to find that, until they deal with the Afghan government, they're not going to get anywhere. So Ask them today, they'll say no way. Let the police, the peace process go a little bit further, let there be more talks amongst Afghans, things will probably change. And the kind of the pragmatist, you know, the pragmatist can find a very good argument to explain, you know, any reverse if they see it as necessary.
Michael Semple, thanks for a fascinating discussion. Research fellow at the Carr Center for Human Rights Policy at the Harvard Kennedy School. Thanks so much.
Thank you, John.